This week on Vaticano, Pope Francis hosts more than 100 comedians from 15 countries. The Vatican convenes astrophysicists to discuss black holes and quantum theory. The Pontifical Academy of Sciences organizes a conference to discuss artificial intelligence's impact on human flourishing. The Pope travels to southern Italy to meet with world leaders at the G7 summit to discuss global crises. And we take a sneak peek at the Vatican's choir. For this and more, Vaticano starts now. When you make others laugh, God smiles, Pope Francis told over 100 comedians from around the world as they gathered for a private audience in the Vatican. Some up-and-coming comedians, others household names. Speaking in the Apostolic Palace, the Holy Father told them they have a precious gift for humor, and it should never be used to mock or offend others, but always to uplift and inspire. He said their gift has the ability to help others overcome difficulties and cope with daily stress. You manage to help people smile, even when dealing with problems, he said. Some of the attendees included Tonight Show host Jimmy Fallon, Chris Rock, and Conan O'Brien, who spoke to EWTN News right after the audience.
We were told he's coming, and then everything gets very quiet, and then he walks into the room. He gave a speech, and he gave
me... Is this your first time at the Vatican?
Yeah, first time. He gave me a rosary, and I'm going to give it to my mom.
Another attendee was the host of The Late Show, Stephen Colbert, who said he often thinks of his faith when doing his job.
It's in the back of my mind all the time.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, not in the front of my mind. The front of the mind is what the joke is. But at a certain point in the back of the mind, you have to say, do I want to tell that joke? And is that, does that go with everything else that you are besides a comedian? And, because especially doing satire, political satire, you're kind of dancing around with a knife in your hand a lot, and you want to be careful who and what you cut. And so it was lovely to hear the Pope acknowledge that there's a value in that for people's hearts. And that made me think a little bit harder about how I want to use it.
God bless you and your art, the Pope finished.
A lot of people think, you know, somehow the Big Bang is contrary to the church. When Father Lemaitre, who was a mathematician with two PhDs, one in math and one in astrophysics, came up with this theory, he was very careful to say, it is not the same thing as a creation in Scripture. It's our best description of what happens after that creation.
Despite what some may think, faith and science complement each other. Father George Lemaitre may not be a household name, but this Catholic priest's groundbreaking scientific theory changed the way the world understands the origins of the physical universe. The Belgian priest devised what is labeled the Big Bang Theory in 1931. Father George Lemaitre's studies into black holes, space-time singularities, and gravitational waves were the subject of a scientific conference at the Vatican Observatory between June the 16th and 21st. Brother Guy Consolmagno is the director of the Vatican Observatory and spoke at the conference.
But Lemaitre was so humble about the work that he did that when he translated his work into English, by then Hubble had made the discovery that Lemaitre had predicted. And Lemaitre himself removed that part, you know, with the most exciting part of the paper, thinking, Hubble's already done that. You don't need to know about me anymore. Rather than saying to the world, ha-ha, I was there first, he let Hubble take the credit for actually making the observation.
Nobel laureates, cosmologists, and theoretical physicists all came to the Vatican Observatory to celebrate the legacy of Father George Lemaitre, who, despite having achieved so much, has, for the most part, stayed out of the limelight.
Hello and welcome to this week's Vaticano Update, the most important news from the Holy Father and the Vatican. The Vatican published a 130-page study on papal primacy, containing suggestions from Orthodox and Protestant Christian communities for how the role of the Bishop of Rome might look in a future reunited church. The study document, titled The Bishop of Rome, Primacy and Synodality in Ecumenical Dialogue and Responses to the Encyclical Ut Unum Sint, is the first Vatican text since the Second Vatican Council to outline the entire ecumenical debate on papal primacy. The Vatican Library announced that it will expand its use of Web3 technologies by awarding non-transferable, non-fungible tokens, so-called NFTs, to supporters of the manuscript collections. For the time being, the project, considered experimental, only applies to Italian donors to the Vatican Apostolic Library. The future of the project, the Vatican said, may also include the ability to visit the library through immersive extended reality experiences, like augmented virtual reality. Pope Francis has erected the Archdiocese of Mdola in Zambia and appointed Bishop Benjamin Pitti as its first Archbishop. The Southern African nations has two metropolitan sees, the Archdiocese of Lusaka, headquartered in the country's capital city, and the Archdiocese of Kasama in northern Zambia. The newly erected metropolitan has a population of 3.2 million, of which 1.9 million are Catholic, representing 60% of the total population of the archdiocese, according to the Holy See press report. For the first time in 10 years, Pope Francis met with Aram I, the leader of the Armenian Church of Cilicia, with jurisdiction over some 800,000 Armenian Christians in Lebanon, Syria, Cyprus, Iran, and Greece. The meeting took place behind closed doors in the Holy Father's personal office, and the Vatican has not offered any further details. The Armenian Church has over 5 million members worldwide. A group of 20 theologians concluded an evaluation of 107 synod reports from national bishop conferences and Eastern Catholic churches, following nearly 2 weeks of meetings in Rome. The theologians, who met from June the 4th through June the 14th, were asked to provide an analysis of the reports, which will help synod officials draft the Synod on Synodality's second Instrumentum Laboris, the document that will guide the work of the second session of the Synod in Synodality in October. Thank you so much for watching this week's Vaticano Updates. Paola Riaza for EWTN Vaticano.
In a few moments, we'll be back with a special conference organized at the Vatican on artificial intelligence's impact on human flourishing.
Talking about technology, our goal should be to use the tools to serve human flourishing, to help people and communities really become what they were made to be.
At a time when technology is rapidly advancing and leaving human rights at risk, scholars gathered at the Vatican and committed to building a model to align artificial intelligence with human flourishing. This is just one of the resolutions at the Humanity 2.0 Human Flourishing Conference that brought together engineers, business owners, and experts in various fields to answer the following questions. What is stopping humans from flourishing? And how can we create innovative solutions for this?
I would say, based upon the trend lines, humanity in almost every respect is doing better than it ever has before, with the exception of on the existential plane. We're seeing mental health and spiritual health aren't declining in many parts of the world. And this is a problem, because I think if people are psychologically not flourishing, they're spiritually not flourishing, that tends to create problems everywhere else in people's lives.
One of the attendees at the forum was His Eminence Cardinal Peter Turkson, Chancellor of the Pontifical Academy of Sciences. The Pontifical Academy of Sciences hosted the Human Flourishing Forum inside the Vatican.
The Church has been studying the human condition continuously longer than any organization on earth, and so the Vatican is very good at appealing to people's better angels and calling them to make, you know, to come together and to make contributions for the sake of the common good.
Also in attendance was Letty Garcia, Associate Director of the Harvard Business School Leadership Initiative, which provided insights on the important role of leadership the Vatican plays in these discussions.
What I appreciate about the Vatican, it's always thinking ahead generations. It's not just about 10 years or 20 years. So these are generational type of conversations that we're having in a space where conversations that happened hundreds of years ago, 10 decades ago, are still impacting us today. And I hope that the conversations we're having today will be the same for future generations. So there's a responsibility that comes with that, with this dialogue.
The conference also featured Father Michael Baggett, an American priest and bioethics professor living in Rome, who spoke on a panel about the benefits and drawbacks of the use of artificial intelligence for the global community.
It's important to address them from the paradigm of hope. And true authentic Christian hope is based on an understanding of what it means to be created in the image of God. We are co-creators with God, so we have the great gift of creativity. And an expression of creativity comes through the technology we make, including AI systems.
Next year, scholars will gather once again to discuss the progress made on these resolutions and take more strides towards ensuring that all humans have the opportunity to flourish.
We need to do that hard work together so that all of the tools, AI or others, can be properly directed and will not lead to that doom of self-destruction.
The effects of artificial intelligence on humanity leads us to consider the importance of healthy politics so that we can look to our future with hope and confidence.
It was the first time that a pope participated in a meeting of the leaders of the world's largest democracies. Italy's Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni had invited Pope Francis to join the G7 summit in Puglia, in the south of the host country. In particular, she asked the pontiff to address the world leaders on artificial intelligence, a topic of great importance to Pope Francis. Longtime Vatican analyst and political observer Frank Rocca finds it understandable that Pope Francis was invited to speak.
For example, the Prime Minister of India and the President of Brazil were also present, the President of Kenya. And so the Pope was there in that capacity. There may have also been a desire on the part of Meloni to be close to the Pope politically. He's a very popular figure in Italy and around the world. And I think generally for the leaders there, probably most of whom were in trouble politically in their countries, not Meloni, but the others, including Biden, President Biden, it was probably very agreeable to be having their photo taken with a very popular leader, Pope Francis. The summit had several questions on the agenda, including climate change and energy, but the Pope spoke specifically about the challenge of artificial intelligence, which is not a new topic for him.
During his much-referenced message to the diplomatic corps at the beginning of this year, he had already warned of the consequences an uncontrolled race for the newest technologies could have for mankind. In Puglia, he reiterated his concerns.
Artificial intelligence at the same time is an exciting and fearsome tool and demands a reflection that is up to the challenge it presents.
The Holy Father acknowledged that AI is an extremely powerful tool for medicine and work, for culture and communications, for education and politics. It will increasingly influence the way we live, our social relationships, and even our identity as human beings. He spoke of the advent of a true cognitive industrial revolution, which will contribute to the creation of a new social system. This development could either be an opportunity or a grave danger. While positive aspects would be the democratization of access to knowledge, the exponential advancement of scientific research, and the possibility of giving demanding and arduous work to machines, but it could also bring with it a greater injustice between advanced and developing nations, or between dominant and oppressed social classes, raising the dangerous possibility that a throwaway culture be preferred to a culture of encounter. Pope Francis made clear that mankind has always invented tools, and they could be either used for good or for bad, whether we think of knives, steam engines, or nuclear power.
Artificial intelligence, however, is still more complex of a tool.
AI is more than just a blunt instrument. Machines can now choose which solution they pursue, and they do so based on algorithmic models. The human person is able to decide, the Holy Father clarified.
We would condemn humanity to a future without hope if we took away people's ability to make decisions about themselves and their lives by dooming them to depend on the choices of machines.
Vatican has intervened on this subject a number of times, and the Pope issued a special message in December on this topic. And so he addressed certain preoccupations, certain worries that he has, for example, about the importance of maintaining human control over these systems, specifically in regard to autonomous weapons. He said that machines shouldn't be deciding whether people live or die, whether they're in war. And also in the judicial system, whether to give people, how to sentence people. He worries that artificial intelligence will be used and humans will lose control of the system of justice.
Pope Francis urged the world leaders to become active and ensure control over artificial intelligence. Sound political leadership is needed now more than ever, he said, to ensure the common good. We'll be back after a short break with a special look at the Vatican Choir. This is how the members of the International Meeting of Choirs greeted Pope Francis at the Vatican. The audience was part of the celebration of the 40th anniversary of the foundation of the Choir of the Diocese of Rome. Among those present were well-known directors of sacred music, the 300 members of the diocesan choir, and their families. The children didn't miss the opportunity to get close to the pontiff. During the meeting, the Pope said that music generates harmony, comforts those who suffer, and restores enthusiasm to the discouraged. Therefore, it is a reflection of the harmonious light of God. The celebration culminated with a grand concert at the Vatican. In the morning, the Holy Father hosted an audience in the Paul VI Audience Hall, where thousands of people eagerly waited to hear the musical pieces. To commemorate the occasion, the director of the Roman choir prepared an unreleased song entitled Christ is My Hope. We interviewed Monsignor Marco Frisina, the director of the Roman choir, during their musical rehearsals.
Precisely, considering the Jubilee and thinking about how nowadays it is so important to sing the joy of hope, because everyone thinks with sadness about the things that happen, war, violence, hatred. But it is good to sing instead, to counter all this. That Christ is our joy, our hope.
The choir of the Diocese of Rome performed a medley of some of its most significant pieces over the years. Musicians from different parts of the world united their voices. Among the songs they performed was Jesus Christ, You Are My Life. Monsignor Marco Frezina said that this song reminded him of Pope St. John Paul II.
Because during the World Youth Day in Rome, in the year 2000, I wrote that hymn for the occasion, which has since become the hymn of World Youth Day.
The Dicastery for Culture and Education and the Pontifical Institute of Sacred Music sponsored the event. Monsignor Frezina stated that the choir of the Diocese of Rome was born to accompany the celebrations officiated by the Pope, Bishop of Rome, and explained that music is of paramount importance for prayer.
Because music points the heart towards a direction, and that direction is God. Music becomes one of the most beautiful means to prayer. Just like this beautiful piece that we are listening to, it helps you to widen your heart, to meet others, to overcome differences. It doesn't matter where you come from, what religion you practice, your ideas or your age. Music brings people together.
The celebration concluded with a mass in St. Peter's Basilica. Shortly afterwards, the choirs made their way to St. Peter's Square to pray the Angelus with the Pontiff. Pope Francis sent a special greeting to the members of the choir meeting, and they responded with an ovation.